Right. Thank you, Miss Joyce. Appreciate that. Take your Bibles, if you will, please, and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28, if you will. And Lord willing, we will get to some better stuff next week. We spent a good bit of time. Somebody handed me this. There's a running joke for you folks who aren't here. Somehow they think that if I eat a Reese's peanut butter cup, I won't preach so long. And this one came in and says, I'm in nursery this morning. I'm not sure it's working, so I figured I'm going to up my dosage. Deuteronomy 28. We've been doing a series of messages, and I know that some of you are very tired of what we've been going through. And frankly, God's tired of what we've been going through. The Lord has so many pages in His book. When He spends this much time, such a large proportion of His book on this topic and these truths, it tells me that He wants to make sure we don't miss it. These are not difficult issues. The problem is we just don't pay attention to it. And we go ahead and we live our life. Our theme this year, it says, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Of course, that's chapter 30. And right now, I've been going through all the cursing. Lord willing, we'll talk about the blessings next week. All right? But he says, therefore, choose life. That tells me that I'm not stuck in my position here, that if things are not going well, that I can make a different choice. And I can turn to God, or I can decide to do this all on my own. So today I've got some things. We're going to try to finish this up here. And I want you to turn to chapter 28, verse number 1. Verse number 1 actually goes right before the blessings. But I want you to see the contrast here as we move along. Deuteronomy 28, verse number 1 says this. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, and if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Now, if you've been with us, you know that I've talked about the fact that the curse that was established way back in the Garden of Eden because of sin, basically rules this world. But God says, I will supersede and bless you in spite of the curse if you will follow what I ask you to do. And we will hearken to the Lord. Now, I also said that we can't run away from the curse. He says here, we're going to read it here in a minute. It says, it will overtake thee. The curse will run us down, overtake us. But the fact is, the same thing happens here. All these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee. He says, if I'll do right, that the blessings will overtake me. It's been a long time, but I remember this one time I was heading out of the store or a restaurant, I'm not sure what it was, and I was on the way out the door, and one of the people from the restaurant came running out after me. Sir, hold on. I shortchanged you. Here's another $10. Now, that he overtook me, if you will, and gave me the $10. The fact is, I wasn't expecting him. God's blessings will come and overtake us, and they will come on us sometimes out of nowhere. We have no idea where they're coming from, but God says, I will bless you if you will do what I ask you to do. Now look at verse 15. But it shall come to pass, verse 15, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Verse 20. Jump down to 20. And the Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke, and all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do. It just, nothing will seem to work like it should. Until thou be destroyed, until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. So in other words, watch me. We cannot simply be neutral. He says the difference between somebody who's blessed and who somebody who's not is whether somebody hearkens diligently. So what great sin did this nation have that they weren't that all this terrible thing happened to them? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. But sin is a reproach to any people. If listen, he didn't say there'd be great whole lot worse sinners than everybody else. Is the Lord their God? That's the question. And really, for America right now, you say, well, are we really that bad? But is the Lord our God? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. So what he says here, that we can avoid the curses if we'll hearken, listen to what God says, obey what the Lord says, and not walk away from him, and not forsake the Lord, but stick to him, cleave to him. Now, if you go back to Deuteronomy 18, you're going to see all kinds of commands. You're going to see about sexual purity and how to make sure the protection of the life of children and honesty in business, fidelity in marriage, and all these things. And you know, well, you say, well, man, you know, that's just life these days. No, it's sin. It was sin then, and it's sin now. Nothing has changed. Let's pray. And I'm going to try to bring this to a culmination today. And I'm going to ask this question. Could the curse happen to us? Could the curse happen to us? Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your blessings. And this is not a fun message. And I know we've got a lot of visitors here, but Lord, this is something we've been working on for weeks. And Lord, it's something we need to see. We need to hear. So Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit will give each of us what we individually need. And Lord, there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But, and the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God loved us so much, commended his love towards us while we were yet sinners. He died for us. And Lord, I thank you that you died for us and gave us that wonderful gift. And Lord, even now, even those who have no Christ as their Savior can choose to have you walk with them in this life as well. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll bless. A lot of folks are living under the curse, underneath all the problems and all the briars and the snares and the thorns that this world brings. And the life of sin is hard. The life of transgressors is hard. But Lord, the fact is you can fix these things. You can allow us to be blessed. So Lord, I pray that you'll bless us and give us your Holy Spirit and speak to each heart. And Lord, to be one this morning doesn't know Christ as their Savior, I pray that today will be the day of their salvation. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. By the way, remember the word blessed. You know, it talked about blessed is the one, blessed is this. The word blessed really means to make smooth, to flatten out. It means to be happy, but it means like Jimmy says, going where the ground's level. You know, well, God will level the ground for you. In other words, a curse, it may be a great mountain in front of you, but God says, I'll flatten that out for you. Now, he doesn't have to, but he says, if you're going to trust in me, I'll take care of you. Now, the purpose of these messages is for us to see just how far the curse can interfere into our daily lives and how much destruction it can do. And I'm hoping that we become so fed up with the curse and how much misery it brings into our lives that we decide that we're going to live under the blessings and underneath the spout where the blessings come out and not under the curse. By hearkening diligently, and we're going to hearken diligently to the Lord and observe to do his commands and statutes. Now remember, the curse is simply, watch, God allowing us to be vulnerable to the great curse that's already enacted upon us in this world from the time of Adam's disobedience, the subsequent fall, because we have not chosen to live by God's word. It's not about God adding a curse the Lord has invented on the spot to get back at us and punish us for our sins. It's God lifting his hedge of protection from around us. He isn't tempted by sin, and nor does he tempt us. That's not his purpose. He's for us. But if you're going to walk away from him, you're going to walk out in the darkness, he's going to let you go, just like the prodigal son's father. He let him go. He also took him back. You can live under God's blessing, or you can decide to go out and live in the world without his blessing, and you are taking your chances. You are gambling with your life. You're gambling with your welfare, not only your welfare, but everybody else that's important to you, whoever else may be watching you. Now, I'm not going to reiterate all the aspects of the curse that will come against us. We've enumerated those extensively over the last few weeks. But the Lord is going to begin summarizing with some generalities in this passage now and describe what will happen to Israel if they do not choose to hearken diligently to the word of God so that they can observe to obey it. Now, if you know your Bible history, what the Lord foretells here is exactly what eventually happens to Israel because they were not diligent about knowing the word of God, but instead they allowed the truths of God's word to slip away, be lost in the shuffle of life, just not bother with it. Sound familiar? During Josiah's time, King Josiah, they found the book. What's this? What's the book? Well, what's it say? And they read it. Oh, my soul, we're in trouble. And so in other words, they had apparently allowed the word of God to be tossed aside. And no wonder hard times had come their way by way of the curse. And even after that revival, the word of God was once again allowed to be put on the shelf, unopened, and the people fell into sin because they cannot observe to do that which they don't know to do. And so they wandered away from God's word. Wandered away from the Lord, now from under God's protective blessing, and the curse was allowed to overcome them to the point that they were thrown out of the promised land and taken to foreign lands. Now, I believe the word of God when he says in Psalm 33, already quoted, 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven, he beholdeth all the sons of men from the place of his habitation. He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There's no king save by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. An horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any of his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. So blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. You know what that means? That means America too. That means any other nation in the world, if they decide they're going to make the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Jehovah, God of all creation, their God, he says, I'll bless them. I'll bless them. And that's where America has been for many years. Not that we were perfect, but he was our God. In God we trust. But we have come to the point where we don't want him to be our God. We don't want to even mention him sometimes in the halls of government by certain people. We have tried to divorce ourselves from God. When we have divorced ourselves from God, then he's no longer our God. Well, then we cannot claim the promises. The promises that we've been enjoying for the last 245 years of America. God has blessed America not because America was perfect, but because America's God was the Lord. America wanted to keep the Lord as their God, and so America, even with all its imperfections, all of its sin, sought to observe to do that which was written in the Word of God, and the Lord kept his word and blessed us. And of course, our blessings were not always complete, and there have been times of hardship, but that's because America's obedience has not always been complete, nor our hearts always perfect toward the Lord. However, America has sought the Lord more than most nations in the world over the last 245 years. The Lord has blessed us more than most nations in the world. It's just the way it is. You can deny it all you want, but right there in black and white, that's what he said he'll do. Now, I want you to allow me to take just a few more specific curses, and then I'm going to read what was foretold would happen to Israel, which actually happened. And hopefully, this will convince us that we need to hearken to the Lord and obey him if we expect to survive. Number one, when our disobedience allows the curse to overcome us, we always seem to end up at the bottom of the heap and at the end of the line. Again, this may happen to you individually. It may happen corporately. It may happen nationally. Someone from out of the blue, what's he saying? Somebody from out of the blue will take our rightful place, our rightful position. Look at verse 43. The stranger, chapter 28, verse 43. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. Now watch me. Maybe we are, now don't get mad at me here, but maybe we are infiltrated with immigrants or outsiders who come in and take our place where we should be. That's what it's saying. Some outsider or immigrant from another nation will come in and take your job. Maybe some undeserving outsider will get your promotion. Somehow we just can't seem to work our way up the ladder. In other words, it's not about all just prosperity. I'm not talking about that. But you look at the life of Joseph in the Bible. He did right, and God blessed him. He did right, and the Lord blessed him. Listen, you do right, God will get you where you need to be. Now, there's been a couple of times in my life where I thought I should have, early on before I was in the ministry, where I thought I should, you know, get a little promotion or something. And then I found out I was glad I didn't get it because that would have caused a whole lot more problems in my life, and I'm glad I didn't get it. And God had something even better for me. I need to trust him, and he'll do it right. But the fact is, if I'm not living for him, I can't expect the blessings from him. Watch this. We're going to end up in debt to others rather than having the upper hand financially on them. Look at verse 44. Again, we end up being on the tail and not the head. He shall lend to thee, this stranger out there who got our job. Now he has all the money. He shall lend to thee and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head and thou shalt be the tail. You ever see somebody and they're all dressed up like the horse and somebody gets to play the head and somebody's got to play the tail? Nobody wants to play the tail, you know. And you kind of get that idea. He says that someone else is going to come in there and they're going to take over the good spot. Listen, God promotes when he wants. He puts up and puts down. That's fine. And God, you know, you trust him and maybe you're not where you want to be, but you're where, if you're trusting the Lord, you're obeying him, you're where he wants you to be. And that's good. But sometimes we're not where he wants us to be because we're not listening to him. I think we forget that God actually intercedes in the life of in each individual person who's alive on the earth. Proverbs 22:7 says, "The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender." All of a sudden, we owe them this and owe them that, and you know, we're responsible for this and accountable for this, and we're not doing what we're supposed to do. Sometimes others will make money off of us, because they got the upper hand. Things just aren't going right. Now, this is not a prosperity gospel thing I'm talking about. I'm saying, God's saying right here, watch it. He says, I'll bless you if you will let me be your God. If you obey me and do right, let me be your God, I will bless you. But if you don't want me to be your God, you're on your own. Now, you might have some good things that happen, but listen, you're taking a gamble with your future because of it. Watch this. This may be national, where our nation is no longer the leader of the free world. We will be so obligated to other nations because of debt that they can control us and even blackmail us. Our unwise decisions due to our unwillingness to seek the word of God so we know what to do puts us into compromising positions, such as our current energy and oil issues. That's exactly right. Listen, we should not be at Russia's mercy. Russia should be at our mercy. We shouldn't be talking to Venezuela and Saudi Arabia trying to find oil. This is ridiculous. There's no reason for it. Why are we doing it? Because we have somebody in office that doesn't give a hoot what God has to say. Well, how do you know that? Well, they're all for killing babies. They're all for throwing out traditional marriage. I mean, these things are pretty obvious. And so what? So God is saying, this is what it is. They say, well, I don't like this. I like this. Well, this is what God said. I don't care what God said. We're going to do what we want. Well, you just stepped out from underneath the spout where the blessing comes out, and you're on your own. And we voted him in. No, I didn't either, but our nation did. Which shows, well, I'm not sure, I don't know. But anyway, but basically shows how our nation believes. We're strapped by the chains of ungodly nations. We're at the mercy of wicked heathen nations for our energy. We must have energy for our economy to survive. So some other nation becomes more powerful than us. And maybe we even go into servitude to another nation. You know, America used to be the economic head in the world. Now we're so far in debt and owe so much to other nations that we're at their mercy. Our energy situation flipped in just a matter of days. And I'm sorry, bumbling Biden stumbled again because he obviously did not fear God to seek his face. And so he made some very poor decisions. And when I wrote this message, I had written this and I didn't get it all done in one time. I put on here that gas was $4.29. Well, now it's $4.45. Who knows what it is this morning? And what is it going to be by the end of the week? So the fact is, when our disobedience allows the curse to overcome us, we end up at the bottom of the heap. Number two. When you're at the bottom of the heap, some power is going to tell us what to do. And it's not going to be God, because we're not listening to him. Some power is going to tell us what to do, either the Lord or the world. Now, these curses will be all over us, and it's all because we chose not to allow God to tell us what to do. Look at verse 45. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to his commandments and to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee. Let me go back and we'll look at that. Moreover, these curses shall come upon thee. It means it's going to roll right over us. These curses are going to roll right over us and shall pursue thee. They're going to hunt us down like a dog. And overtake thee. They're going to reach out and grab a hold of us till thou be destroyed, overthrown and desolate, because thou hearkenest not. You chose not to listen intently with discernment, trying to understand so we could obey. Because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God with the intention to keep his commandments, to guard his commandments, to protect him, to make sure that we're following them as he commanded us. Somebody's in charge. Number three, all these curses are proof that we have walked away from God and not just bad luck. I'll tell you what, there's an awful lot of people, well, that's just the way life is. You know, life is hard and then you die. It doesn't have to be. I would say this too. I don't want to make, because I've heard good people say this and so forth. But people will say, well, you know, marriage is hard work. I'm going to be honest with you. Maybe it is on her side, because she's got to deal with me. But marriage is not hard work. I'm sorry, it isn't. It's just not. It's a good thing. You find the wife, you find the good thing, you're blessed of the Lord. Now, I'm not the greatest husband in the world. I know that. But it's just not that hard. Well, why isn't it that hard? If you do it the way God told us to do it, if you yield to the Spirit and your house is full of the fruit of the Spirit, it's not that hard. I mean, some people look at their family and they say they don't even want to go home because they know what's going to happen when they walk in the door. The curse is just flying everywhere. It doesn't have to be that way. But watch. Look at verse 46. And they, the curses, shall be upon thee, watch, for a sign and for a wonder and upon thy seed forever, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. He says, you know what? He says, everybody's going to say, well, whatever happened to them? Well, they turned their back on God. Whatever happened to America? Weren't they the greatest? Yeah, but they decided they didn't want God to be their God anymore. And he said, they're going to be their son. By the way, you make a decision like that, it's not just for us. It's for our kids. We are laying the groundwork for what our kids are going to have to live through. We've all said, my goodness, I don't want what our kids are going to have to go through. What are our grandkids going to have to go? Why don't we want to have any more kids? Because look what they're going to have to live in. That's our fault. It's our fault. God wants to bless us. Brother Nathan was saying in Sunday school, you know what? God can bless you if he doesn't bless anybody else. You know that? He can bless you even in the midst of our whole nation falling down around us. He could bless them. I think I remember a gal who had a checkered past. We're thinking maybe she was a woman of ill repute. And her name was Rahab. And her whole world fell apart, literally, around her. But she trusted in the Lord. And that little thread of scarlet representing the blood of Christ was all that was needed to take her and all those who would go with her into safety. The whole world can fall apart, but it doesn't have to fall apart for you. I mean, the world may fall apart, but you personally can still be safe in the hands of God. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God, what? With joyfulness, with gladness of heart, with abundance of all things. Why isn't living for the Lord good enough for us? Well, I want that. Well, I want that. I can't tell you how many folks I've had in my office who grew up in basically a good family, you know, and they had Christmas and they had fun and they grew up as kids and had their bike and all, you know, all the things that kids do and live life. And then they grew up and decided they wanted to go experience the world. So off they went. And about everything they ever had, they lost. And then they came back to themselves. It was kind of like the prodigal son came to himself and said, you know, Dad didn't even treat his servants like that. They get treated better than I'm getting paid. They get treated better than I am. And he came to themselves and he said, you know what, I just want to go back to the simple days of life when, you know, I knew I woke up in the morning, knew Mom was going to have breakfast, and I can go out and ride my bike, and being kind of in a figurative way, you know, saying I just want to go back to the simple things of life that I had before, which wasn't good enough for before. Why don't we be happy and enjoy what God is? By the way, it's what we really want down in the depths of our heart anyway. Number four, our situation can become so bad and we can be so far gone that we are hardly a nation at all anymore. Now, I'm going to read starting in verse number 48 about what happened, what he foretells is going to happen to Israel if they turn their back on God. Now, the fact is, if you know your Bible, you know that there comes a time, and all along, these kids finally, they turn their back on God. And God deals with them. Now, once you keep that in mind, Lord willing, you've read your Bible enough, you know kind of know what goes on with Israel. But while I read this, don't take this wrong, but I want you to think about this. I want you to think about the Ukraine, the nation of Ukraine. You say, are they wicked people? Not that I know, extraordinarily wicked more than anybody else. But I have not really heard anywhere where they said we need to seek God. I'm just saying, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. But sin is a reproach to any people. Now, a lot of things we're going to read here say, well, that's just old. That doesn't happen anymore. If you've been watching the news, I want you to see this and watch what happens. And could it happen to us? Verse number 48. Therefore, if we turn our back on him, thou shalt serve thine enemies, verse 48, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. He says, we'll be living destitute, hungry, naked, not even able to get enough water, living on the street under bridges or wherever we can find a little shelter from the elements. Well, could something like this happen today in the 21st century? Have you watched the news? They're melting snow to have water to drink. They blew up a bridge to try to keep the Russians out, and then they tried to maneuver across that same broken bridge to get out of town with nothing but the clothes on their back. They've got places where they've set up, there's just all the women and children, there they are, just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, thousands even. Well, the men and the husbands and the sons and all they're old enough to go to war someplace, who knows, and they have no idea where they are. That is today. I mean, this very day. We say, well, we're not as bad as they. We don't have to be. Well, they are not as bad. They didn't have to be. They simply chose not to be under the blessing, where the blessings come out. We're trying to live in our own. We're trying to do exactly the same thing ourselves. It says, and he shall put a yoke of iron bound upon thy neck until he hath destroyed thee. In other words, we're going to feel like we're living like prisoners and in chains with no choice and no hope. Look at verse 49. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. In other words, the enemy will be more than willing to kill women and children just to terrorize the people. They're bombing hospitals on purpose, orphanages on purpose. Wait a minute, this is the 21st century. They don't do this. That's the stuff they did back with Stalin and Mussolini and Hitler and that bunch back in the 30s and the 40s. That's not us. It's today. That's what the sin curse can bring upon us unless the Lord is our shepherd. The Lord is our protector. The Lord is our high tower. 51. He shall eat the fruit of thy cattle and the fruit of thy land, and thou shalt be destroyed, which also shall not leave thee either corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of thy kind, or flocks of thy sheep, until he have destroyed thee. So we lose everything we've had with nothing left. Nothing but the clothes on our back. And we have to lean on others to provide food. Can you imagine? What if America came to a point where someplace in Europe was having to send us food because we're a bunch of refugees and we don't have anything? See, America's never been, we've always been the head, not the tail. But we decide we're going to do our own thing. We are going to be the tail, not the head. You see what I'm saying? Now, either God's got to get our attention, or we are heading ourselves to be. Look at 52. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates until thy high and fenced walls come down wherein thou trusted. Throughout all thy land, and he shall besiege thee in all thy gates throughout all thy land which the Lord thy God hath given thee. Besiege means a cramp, to shut up, to restrain, surround, to control what comes in and what goes out. Well, they did that, you know, back years ago, you know, they besieged in AD 70, they besieged Jerusalem, and they camped out, the enemy camped out around them, so they basically, you know, didn't have any food and so forth. And that's what, but they don't do that these days. They're doing Ukraine. Exactly what they're doing. They have basically encircled the nation of Ukraine so that they get, nobody's in, nobody's out, no food in, no food out. They're doing everything they can to just stop everything. So they listen, you can only do that for so long. You don't have more supplies coming in. We all starve. We're at their mercy. We expected God to be, you know, we thought, well, God's going to protect us, but we were doing our own thing. And so what do they do? Watch this. He says, so we had our fenced walls to come down wherein we trusted. We thought we were okay. Did you hear the president? I mean, he seems like a guy who's fighting. He's got to admire certain things about him. I understand that. But you know what he said the day before they invaded? They're not going to invade. We're going to be fine. They said he went downtown and they asked the people on the street, oh, it's going to be fine. It's no problem. They did. They said, we'll be all right. They're not going to invade. Somehow we're just going to be okay. Wrong. Maybe maybe our fence walls are as our artillery, or I don't know what we might do, our army or whatever. We think that's going to protect us. Well, I just read a little earlier. Listen, no one is protected by horse and chariot and all those kind of things. No one is saved by that. If God is not your guard, then you don't have a guard. They're going to besiege them. And that's exactly what's going on in Ukraine. The enemy will surround them, just bring total destruction to the cities and the infrastructure. And the enemy will in siege against the cities so that no food or supplies can get in or out, but the people will put it into a panic and destitute. Number six, the atrocious circumstances will cause the people to despair of life to the point that they become so desperate. It brings out the primal animal instinct that's in them just so they can survive. It is amazing how desperate people can get. And we could have stopped this process by turning back to God and getting back under the spout where the blessings come out, but instead, we just dug our heels in, obstinately kept going and doing as we pleased until we were degraded into animals. Look at verse 53. And thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and of thy daughters, which the Lord thy God hath given thee in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee. They're so hungry, they'll eat their own children. Well, that could never happen. There have been people in America who have done it, and they're not even under siege. It'll bring out the worst in us and drive us to our baser instincts. And we'll go into simple animal primal survival mode. I'm not saying we've evolved. I'm saying, though, we are so base in our sinfulness that we can get to this point. Look at verse 54. So that the man that is tender among you, very delicate, his eyes shall be evil toward his brother and toward the wife of his bosom, toward the remnant of his children, which he shall leave. In other words, this guy, he's always been a nice guy. But all of a sudden, he turned. Where'd that come from? Man, this guy's mean. It's like he doesn't care about his wife or his family anymore. All of a sudden, he's out for himself. I've never seen, this is not like him. Verse 55, so that he will not give to any of them the flesh of his children, whom he shall eat, because he had nothing left in him in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thine enemies shall he distress in all thy gates. You know what he's saying? They're so far gone, they're eating children. And one of the older children wants some too. He said, no, get away, it's mine. Like a dog. That's what he's saying. Oh, man doesn't get like that. You know why we don't think that? Because we've been living underneath the blessings for a couple hundred years. But we're stepping out from underneath of it. We better watch out. Look at verse 56. Now, women, they just have a natural nurturing aspect about them. 56, the tender and delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness, her eyes shall be evil toward the husband and of her bosom, and toward her son, and toward her daughter, and toward her young one that cometh out from between her feet, and toward her children which she shall bear, and she shall eat them for one of all these secretly in the siege and straitness, where thine enemies shall distress thee in thy gates. She'll feel like she has no choice but to resort to cannibalism. And if you read your Bible, it happens. All these barbarian instincts will come out of us simply because we refuse to, well, I'm talking about us, society. Simply refuse to choose the Lord and thus choose life, and our sinfulness will draw us into deeper sin. I know I keep saying sin. If you're saved, you have a different spirit. I don't believe we're going to get to that point, but this is where society goes. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of the law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. Number 7, if we will not listen to the Lord will make the curse stronger and the problems longer. Watch this, verse 59. Then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful. And that means amazing, beyond imagination. Terrible, 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 beyond imagination. And the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues of long continuance. Sore sicknesses of long continuance. And if we do not repent, the Lord will start bringing in the curses from other parts of the world, like China. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and thou shalt cleave unto thee, and also every sickness and every plague, which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. The Lord will keep allowing the folks to die until he gets our attention, or there's none left. Look at verse 62. Ye shall be left few in number, whereas ye were as the stars of heaven for a multitude. Why? Because thou wouldst not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught. And you shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all the people from one end of the earth even unto the other, and there thou shalt serve other gods which neither nor thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. It's going to scatter them. What's happening to the people of Ukraine right now? They're being scattered to the ends of the world. Some are coming to America already. All over Europe, all over a place, wherever they can find some kind of refuge. But watch. No matter where they go, it's not going to be any better. Look at verse 65. Among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest, but the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart, failing eyes, and sorrow of mind. Remember, leaving the area does not mean we left the curse. The curse is on us. You're not going to be sure whether you're going to live or die. There's no peace, security in your soul. Look at verse 66. Thy life shall hang in doubt before thee. Thou shalt fear day and night. Thou shalt have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, would God it were even. And at evening thou shalt say, would God it were morning. For the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. And there will be mass evacuation from the homeland. Look at verse 68. And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships. By the way whereof I spake unto thee, thou shalt see it no more again. And there ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. You said, this is so bad. You wish somebody would just buy you as a slave. At least you'll have some food and some clothes on your back and a roof over your head. But he said, you don't even have anybody that can buy you. You're as forsaken as you can be. Become so desperate to survive, we just wish somebody would buy us as a slave. Now, you're going to say to me, what a depressing message. And you're right. I want you to be scared to live without Christ running your life. That's where I want us to be. I want you to be scared to death. Scared to live without Christ running your life. Why? Because it's dangerous to live in this sin-cursed world without the Lord running your life. You understand that? Hebrews 10:31 says, it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. 2 Corinthians 5:11 says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And that's what I'm doing right here this morning. Knowing the terror of the Lord, I am trying my best to persuade you, whether you're sitting here, whether watching online, whoever may hear this. I don't know whether I'll be very many people will hear mine, but listen, if I do mine where I am and the preacher down the road does what he's supposed to do and we all do what we're supposed to do, we'll get this thing done. But what if they don't? I don't know, but I'm going to save as many as I can. Because this works for you even if no one else takes it. This is what life is like. What we've been reading is this is what life is like for those who do not choose to make the Lord their God. This is the risk that we're taking. This is what life is like for those that do not choose diligently to hearken to the Lord and observe to obey Him. This is what life is like for those who think they can be neutral and indifferent about obeying God. This is what life is like for those that think that have walked away from the Lord and decided that they'll just take their chances with the curses of the world. You may have much of this in your life. Maybe you don't have a whole lot. But you know what? Sometimes it depends on where you happen to be living at the time, but the curse is going to come back. It will come upon you and overtake you somewhere along the way. Eventually, it just will. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you see a touch of the curse in your life? There's probably an area somewhere in your life that you're trying to control yourself, and it's not working. And you're coming up on the bottom end instead of the top end. The Bible says God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. You're living your life in such a way you feel like you're being resisted. You're walking into a headwind. You're trying your hardest to get there. About the time you get someplace, the wind comes along and blows you back again. And you're spending your life. This is what you've been doing all your life, trying to get away, because we wouldn't do it His way. But God says, listen, grace to the humble. You know what that is? That's a tailwind. I'm not even working too much. I just kind of go, and He kind of keeps blowing me in the right direction. It's amazing how God can do. You know what that means? He says, listen, He says, either the curse is going to come upon you and overtake you, or the blessing is going to come upon you and overtake you and give you a little help. And all of a sudden, you know what? I'm talking about a prosperity gospel. I'm just saying God takes care of you. Now, we're going to get into that next week. I want you to come back and hear the good parts. But today, my point is to scare you, and you say, well, that's kind of off. Yes! Get a fear of God. Get a fear of not fearing God. Let me ask you this. Do you sense the unexplainable evidence of the good hand of the Lord's blessing on your life? Has there been, you know what I'm saying? The Lord's been good. There's that song I've sung a few times. God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep at night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't trade them if I could. Because through it all, in all the curse, somehow God's been good. That's what I want. That's what I want for you. We're not gonna escape the curse. We're living in the midst of a cursed world. But God says, I'll carry you through. That doesn't mean the wind's not going to blow. It doesn't mean the thunder's not going to crack. That doesn't mean that the lightning's not going to strike. But somehow, God says, I'll carry you through, and you're going to come out smelling good on the top. If you're not seeing the hand of God's blessing, you may not even know what you've been missing out on. See, some people, well, that's not for us, that's for all those other people. No, it's for you. I'm not saying a curse won't attempt to destroy you, but I'm saying the Lord will intercede on our behalf. When we have Jesus actively living in our lives, we have hope and help in time of need and tribulation and persecution. John wrote in 16:33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And then 1 John, he in his letter, in his epistle, John says, and whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? We got to decide, is God right or is the world right? Is God's word right or is the world's word right? Am I going to follow what he says or am I going to follow what they say? Is if you'll hearken diligently, I mean listen with all your might, so that you could observe to keep all the commandments and the statutes that he has commanded to do. That's what you want. You say, well, I'm messed up. He's not expecting perfection. What he wants is your heart. That's what he wants. He wants your heart. David was not a perfect man, but he was a man after God's own heart. And when we sin, confess our sins, he's faithful and just, forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We get to start all over again. As if we have never sinned. I hope we're scared of the curse. Let's pray.